Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, Buffalo Fanatics? Josh Allen here. Just wanted to say, go Bills.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy back at it again. It's a Rico Report. We're here to talk about football. We're here to talk about the Bills. It's the offseason. We thought it was going to be a boring offseason. It seems to be pretty smooth, pretty damn good. So smash that like as you guys enter the room. If you guys have not followed, follow on all social media platforms, the Buffalo Fanatics. You already know what time it is. And let's get right to it. Where shall we hit off first? I mean, I got a special guest that's going to be joining me shortly. That's my guy, Carl Jones, will be joining me. And we'll be talking about, you know, the Bills free agency, what we've added, what we need to add. But I have some thoughts on this 28th pick that I'm going to share a little later. And it's been circulating today. But, like, because I haven't been on since, last week, there's been, ever since this Curtis Samuel signing, I have a feeling I know where Bean wants to go, potentially wants to do, what he's doing because of prior mistakes. And it all ties in to what I think we possibly do with that 28th pick. But I'll share my thoughts with Carl Jones when he jumps on with me just in a moment. But folks, let's talk about something here real quick. Do we need to get, where do we go? Do we go to Taron Johnson? Do we go with the Jets? We might as well just hit the Jets right off the bat. The Jets are back at it again, trying to pull some stunts and trying to smooth their way into trying to take our division. That's right. I said our damn division. They're trying to come in and try to take our division. So these Jets, I don't know who these Jets think they are. But they're trying to look like the new look Jets, right? Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, Breece Hall, my guy, Breece Hall at RB, Garrett Wilson, and now they sign Mike Williams. Mike Williams, the former Charger, the one that when he is healthy can be a damn good receiver, borderline receiver one, but brother can't stay healthy. So the Jets were like, bump all that. We don't give a hoot. We are bringing Mike Williams to the Jets, and we're going to give Aaron Rodgers as many weapons as possible. But here's the difference. Aaron Rodgers ain't the one calling shots, bringing in Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard. A bunch of these guys that just didn't pan out. We're going to bring our guys in. And right now, Mike Williams chose the Jets. Now, here's my issue with Mike Williams. Why would you choose the Jets? Like, why would you do this? Because 40-plus-year-old Aaron Rodgers is coming back? Is that what it is? I don't get it. You could have went to the Panthers. They would have probably gave you a bigger bag. You got a young quarterback out there. Maybe they could work some things around. You had other opportunities, but you chose the Jets. Why the Jets? Why the Jets? What is it about the Jets that got you guys, ready to go all in? I mean, that was Jerry Jones's deal. He was supposed to go all in. I don't know what Jerry Jones is up to. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't care who you bring over to your Jets. You know what I'm saying? You still got to come through Buffalo to handle business. Now, does it improve your team? Absolutely, it does. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it doesn't improve their team. Does it make me say, oh, shit, here come the Jets? No. No, absolutely not. We know when we are on top of our shit and we're not giving you the football like we did the first week, we can handle business. And you saw it when we handled business against you guys on the second run. First one, we were just giving the ball away. Like, we were giving it to you like candy. Josh Allen was forcing it, and we just weren't playing our game. So y'all took the first one. You got to give it to you guys. Take that. But it ain't going to happen again. We're no better. And we'll be healthier. At the end of the day, that's what it's going to come down to. We'll be healthier. We'll be ready to get back to it. And we'll go from there. But either way, it's not a bad signing for the Jets. I mean, let's be honest and put our football hat on. It's a good signing for the Jets. You needed someone to compliment Garrett Wilson. You did. That dude is an absolute star. And he did what he could with Zach Wilson throwing him the football. Speaking of Zach Wilson, this brother can't find a job anywhere. They pretty much told him, like, yo, we ain't trying to mess with you, so we're going to try to find a trade partner for you. They can't find a trade partner for this guy. So they might have no choice but to keep him. They might have no choice but to keep Zach Wilson on the Jets, unless they just outright release him. We'll see how that plays out. Did they release him? I don't even know. I don't pay attention to the Jets that much. I'm sure he's still in the roster. I think they're looking to figure some things out. So Mike Williams coming back off of what? Did he tear his ACL? What was it? His ACL that he tore? He did something. He did a nasty injury. So whether he comes back 100%, who knows? How he comes back, who knows? You got a 40-year-old coming off of an ACL. How he comes back, who knows? He was talking about, oh, maybe he could come back. Maybe if the Jets push a little something, maybe he come back. You might see him at the end of the season. That's the same thing Vaughn was saying. Remember when he tore his ACL? Maybe not so bad. You guys might see me in the playoffs. They cut his ass off. Did he return to the Von Miller that we know him to be? Not quite. We're hoping that he turns into the Von Miller that we would love him to be this year, but he's 2 years older. So what do you do with that? It's tough. But nonetheless, folks, the AFC has to run through the Chiefs because, I mean, they want it back-to-back. But don't sleep on this AFC East being a tough division. It's a tough division. The Miami Dolphins, although lost a lot of pieces, you know they're going to be retooling. They got Tyreek. They got themselves a run game. They got Devin Achane. You know what I'm saying? They got themselves some receivers. They got Waddle. So it's not like they're going to fall off completely. And the Jets, I mean, they got something to prove. They absolutely have something to prove. So they went balls to the wall and said, you know what? Let me bring Mike Williams in. And let's try to, you know, stay relevant enough. And I know Jets fans are rejoicing right now. I'm sure they're sitting here going, all right, bet we on this now. But let's not get it twisted, folks. You got a quarterback that's coming off of a big time injury. Will he be the same? We'll soon find out. I'm actually curious to see how Jets fans are taking on this news. Because this would be quite interesting. Because I'm sure they're losing their mind saying, oh, shit, we got ourselves a championship team now. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let's pump the brakes, Jets fans. Let's just let this all play out. let's this all play out. Because we've all been there where we thought we had some, and it didn't work out. It didn't quite work out the way we wanted to. But kudos to the Jets. Kudos. They're making moves. You got no choice, but to stay, up and stay current. And, looking at the projected, roster, it's not a bad looking roster. Like I said, Aaron Rodgers, Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, you got Mike Williams, whether they decide to move on from Alan Lazard, you got Alan Lazard that's going to be on the squad, Tyler Conklin as your tight end. Now what they've done, which has very much impressed me and a lot of NFL pundits out there, they really improved that O-line because that O-line was absolute buns. Was absolute buns last year. Zach Wilson, poor guy, tried to do what he could. There's only so far you can go with that offense. But now you bring in Morgan Moses, a little older, but he's been a very good right tackle for the Ravens, for the previous Ravens. So they're bringing Morgan Rose. I think he's like a 34 years of age. You got Elijah Vera Tucker. You got Joe Tippmann with, I mean, they're going to be working with young Joe Tippmann. So that's their guy. They drafted him. You got John Simpson in there, and then they brought in, I mean, old reliable veteran guy, Tyron Smith. Bro, that old line, then you can say I got respect for that, because now they realize you can't just trot out 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers with a makeshift line. You're doing him no favors. So what they decided to do was, well, look what the Bills did. The Bills, you know, we put some guys around Josh Allen, some competent guys around Josh Allen that could protect Josh Allen. Result, one of the least fewest sack quarterbacks last year. So they're peeping what the Bills are doing. I know they're peeping. And the Jets absolutely did a great job with handling that offensive line. That offensive line it's vastly improved. So which should make that offense very interesting to see how they do in the offseason and going into the season. Will this AFC East be one to that's going to be easy for us to take? Heck no. It wasn't easy last year. It certainly won't be easy this year, this upcoming year. Defensively, they brought back CJ Mosley. Jermaine Johnson's coming back. He's going for a second year. Quinnen Williams is a dog. They brought in Javon Kinlaw. If he can stay healthy, could be real good. John Franklin Myers. They're going to have a good defensive line. Obviously, Mosley and Quincy Williams holding it down at the linebacker spot. Two great linebackers. You got Sauce. You got DJ Reed. You got Michael Carter as your safeties. Or your nickel, excuse me. And you got your two safeties in Tony Adams and Chuck Clark. Looking pretty decent. Not going kind of can't cap. Looking pretty damn good. And you got a top 10 pick. So what will they do? Will they go with a tight end, another tight end, and try to go two tight end set, try to copy the Bills? I don't know. But we all know this is a copycat league. And in a copycat league, what works, they try to imitate. You know that's the drill. That's what they do. That's what happens. So we will see how these Bills and these Jets, these Dolphins, these Patriots, I don't know what the hell the Patriots are doing, but we'll get into that another day. The Patriots, I don't know what's going on. They got a new coach. They're trying to make some moves. We'll see how far that goes. But this is a three-man race to the top in the AFC. It's going to be the Bills, Patriots, and Jets. I'll tell you right now. I can't see the Bills not making the playoffs again, but maybe the Jets leap the Dolphins and the Dolphins fall out of it. Or maybe the Jets just aren't good enough and they fall apart. Who knows? Who knows? But one thing's for sure, this is going to be a fun year yet again in the AFC East. You got to love it. You got to love it. So shout out to the Jets. The Jets are doing big things. They're trying to put some things together. I know Jets fans are absolutely thrilled about this situation. I'm sure they're losing their minds and saying, hey, man, this is it. We're going to make it. We're going to make it, baby. We got it. We got our squad now. This is what we were supposed to have last year. The league better watch out. Here's one thing that you guys should realize and should understand. You don't know what quarterback is going to show up with Aaron Rodgers. You don't know. You don't know. Is he all the way into politics? Is he not? Is his heart into it? Is he very nonchalant? Who knows? I mean, you know he's a competitor. You know he's going to ball out. But is his mind going to be all there? Who knows, bro? Who knows? But as a football fan, you want to see what him, a true, healthy Aaron Rodgers can do with his Jets team. The unfortunate part is you gotta play the Bills twice. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. So it's going to be a good matchup. And I ain't trying to cap and make it seem like we're going to wax things. We're not. You know what I'm saying? We lost a fair share of our guys, but I ain't worried about who we lost because I think we made the necessary moves in order to stay relevant in this league, in this conference, let alone our own division. It's just what it is. It's just what it is, folks. So with that being said, big shout out to the Jets. They're doing their thing. And I'm sure that my guy, Carl Jones, is going to have some insight on that. So I'll probably bring this topic back up again in just a little bit. But we'll see how that all plays out and all that shakes out. So that being said, kudos to the Jets, man. You got to do what you got to do, Wes. You got to do what you got to do. Now, the Bills have been busy. The Bills have been busy. Today, they brought in a gentleman by the name of Casey Tuhill, I believe a former Stanford graduate, I believe. drafted by the Eagles in the seventh. I'm only learning about this guy because I didn't know too much about him. I got some of the homies that are Commanders fans, so I hit them up and be like, "Yo, tell me more about my man Tuhill. I mean, what am I expecting from this guy?" Because I'm gonna tell you right now, I wouldn't say I was led astray, but Tim Settle, when he came over from the Commanders, I was told, "Man, you guys got a good one in Tim Settle. He's that dude. He's this. He's that." In the third, it was a little underwhelming. Would you not say? I'm not saying I expected more, but I didn't see anything that was like, what y'all hype him up for? Even my man Pierre was like, "Oh shoot, I live in the DC area, so I hear the radio, I hear talk radio, I hear all that stuff, man. They love him out there. They loved him so. They did not want to let him go, but that defensive line was so damn deep that they had to let him run." Where the hell's Chase Young? Where's Chase Young at? That's how deep they were. Anyway, it is what it is. But I'm hearing good things by Tuhill. I mean, with the limited starts that he had last year, that brother had 5 sacks. He had 5 sacks in the 8 games he started. Primarily on the line. So this is a guy that's probably going to end up replacing Shaq Lawson, like a Shaq Lawson type guy, right? He's got long arms. He's got length. So you know he can get around the corner. He can, jack you up a little bit, read the line up. But he's known for being a good run defender, a good solid run defender. And, he had a bit of a tool belt to, get into the pass rush with his 5 sacks last year. So we'll see. I mean, is this anything to really write home about? It's depth. And you can't go wrong with depth. And if you have a young and hungry depth guy, that's great. And what we have to realize too is that guys like Shaq Lawson have been in the league quite some time. What? Shaq Lawson got drafted, what, 2015? When did he get drafted? I can't even remember when he got drafted. But he's been in the league quite some time now. So it's time to get young. And that's been the theory. 2013? Did he jump in the league in 2013? Golly, I can't be right. I'm trying to think of when he got drafted. When did Shaq Lawson get drafted to the league, man? Because I remember it was when our guy, I'm trying to think when he got drafted. Yeah, because when 2016, I was a little off. 2016 is when it came to the league. You know what I'm saying? We tried to move him around and we had a nice defense and we decided to bring him on and change the defense up. You know how that goes. That's a whole nother ballgame. But Shaq Lawson was great depth. Tuhill becomes great depth. 5 sacks last year, like I said. So, I mean, he's got a bit of a sweet tooth to get to the quarterback. And what better team to be, added to than a team that is opportunistic, than a team that rotates their defensive line. So he will get his opportunities. He will definitely get his opportunities. And so what I'm getting from Salem said he's a relentless work ethic guy. He's a tough worker. He's a coach's. He's a son. He's a coach's son, right? He's a gym rat. He gets up in there. We know the adjectives that are used for players like that. So we'll see. Depth is never hurts to get depth. And right now we do need the depth at the defensive front. So this is why not bring that in and add that to the arsenal, and we go from there. And we definitely go from there. So, Casey Tuhill from the freaking Commanders coming to the Bills, and our guy Bean is not stopping. I mean, this brother said he ain't going to do splashes. He ain't going to do anything special. But for someone that's not splashing, he's doing a lot of splashing. A lot of splash. You feel me? I'm getting wet right now with all that splash he's doing. Right? Pause. But anyway, that being said, I got my guy Carl Jones in the building. I don't know, my man's he grew a goatee all of a sudden. What's going on, brother? Grew a goatee. He's light skinned cats, bro. I tell you, man, these light skinned brothers. Speaking of light skins, we are lacking the light skinned brothers on the Buffalo Bills, man. We lost Micah Hyde, we lost Jordan Poirier. Thank goodness we brought our guy Teron Johnson back. I mean, he's leading the light skinned brothers on the squad right now. He's the leader right now. And then maybe we'll add a couple more light skinned brothers on the squad because we've lost a quarter. The quarter's diminished. So we got to replenish. We got to get back on there. So you know what time it is, man. When you're ready to go, you give me the signal. And then we get popping because I know people have been wanting to hear from my guy, Carl Jones. What it do?
What's up, my man? I'm glad to be back. How you been?
I'm doing well. I see you trying to grow the full goatee. What's going on, fam?
Man, you know how I go winter, you know, when it get a little chilly outside. So, you know, switch up the look a little bit. The face get a little cold. You know, you feel me? Switching something up.
Listen, man, I got you. I was actually talking to the wifey the other day, and I was like, because sometimes whenever men, we start to kind of try to experiment. Yeah, let me just trim this off a little bit. Then you start trimming away too much, and you screw up. So then the inevitable part to happen is you got to shave everything. And I say, yo, would you care if I just experimented and just shaved everything? She said, absolutely not. There ain't no way. So would wifey allow you to just get everything off, clear it, clean?
I mean, listen, like, since I'm on TV too, like, I told her, like, let me experiment with the TV stuff too and see, like, what the people at home been chatting about. I ain't got no bad emails. I ain't got no emails talking about some get that crap off your face yet. So I'm going to let it rock for a little bit. It'll be gone, you know, probably before bill season. I'm just trying to
let it go. If you can grow the facial hair on the side, let it
now,
go.
Now, listen, if we get the joint on the side, listen now. Hey, bro,
let me tell you something. Now. I've been, I don't have anything, but I've been trying to push this, whatever the hell you want to call this, on my face for the last like 8 months, 9 months. And wife is like, you should just shave it so it can grow back some more. I say, yo, I haven't got it this high and this much in a long time. I ain't touching it. I'm gonna let it rock. I'm gonna let it rock. And that's exactly what we're doing. So, welcome back, Mr. Carl Jones. It's been a minute since we had you. There's been a lot that's gone on since the start of free agency. But I guess we're going to jump right into one topic of conversation. I think one of your favorites on the team, and that is Taron Johnson. We have decided to bring our guy back, Taron Johnson, back to the squad. How do you feel about Taron returning to the squad and holding it down for us? What's the word? Talk to me on that.
I mean, first off, I think it's well-deserved, the compensation for it. As soon as, I believe it was Kenny Moore who just got re-signed from the Colts about last week or so, as soon as he got the three for 30, we were kind of like all saying like, well, that's the number that Taron has to beat. And lo and behold, his agent was like, add 1 cent to the end of that right there, and then we just going to bring the same thing to the Bills. And they obviously agreed to it. But for another reason, it's good that the Bills bring him around is the fact that they lost so much in terms of leadership in the back end with Jordan Poyer, Trey White, and presumably Micah Hyde, we assume. Nothing official year on that front. But,
right.
I mean, I know it's kind of weird for Bills fans to say this, but he's the OG of the room now. I know Rasul Douglas isn't young either, but, like, Taron is the one who's been there for majority of this run. So just for the fact that he's a hell of a ball player himself and he kind of represents his entire Bean McDermott era as well, I think they kind of had to bring him back for that reason.
You know, are absolutely correct. And the contract is quite lucrative, if you might add. He's one of those guys where, like, some guys get paid and you're like, ooh, that guy got paid? Why would you pay that guy all that type of money? Taron Johnson is one of those guys that says if he asked for that money, you give him that. Because not only, I mean, and then you're the one that pointed it out to me very much so at the season when we played the Dallas Cowboys, man. The Dallas Cowboys were the Dallas Cowboys that showed up that day because of Taron Johnson and the job he did on CeeDee Lamb. And it was because of your film study and what you put out there that made me realize, dude, he locked CeeDee Lamb down. CeeDee Lamb is primarily a slot guy. I mean, most of his time is spent in the slot. And Taron Johnson held him down. I, for one, thought he's going to have a tough day with that brother. But he absolutely held his own. And the contract he got, absolutely, he's earned it. If you're sitting at the contract here, a three-year deal with $24 million in new money. That's new money right now. So you got $10.5 million guaranteed at signing through 2022. And he got another $3.2 million more guarantees March of 2023. Obviously, 2 years practical. That's the contract. So his cap hits, though, look at this. For right now at 10.1, steal. We'll take that. So that, you know, the money's going to hit a little later after real hard. But that's not bad. That is not bad at all. Now, if you look at Curtis Samuel, we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But Taron Johnson coming through, love what he's done. Statistically, what he's done with his team as well. I mean, been in the game since 2018. The brothers played 88 games. He's got four interceptions. He's got one pick six that was a big time pick six against the Baltimore Ravens. This guy is just a dude. You can play him in the pass. You can play him, obviously, defending the pass, defending the run, blitzing. He is a pivotal piece to this freaking team. So big shout out to Teron Johnson. Would you say he's the most valuable piece? And are you sticking to it? Valuable piece on this defense?
Valuable in the sense that they can't run what they want to run if he's not on the field. If when he's not healthy, you eat, in previous iterations, you had Cam Lewis, who isn't a bad player by any means, but he's obviously not an all-pro. And because majority of the teams, that position is the extra linebacker. Like, Taron is a linebacker that's on the field, but he's capable enough of fitting the run, which he did in that Cowboys game, but then also going outside and holding his own in pass coverage as well. So in terms of that, I mean, you know, I'm going to be pro DB, pro yep. defensive back every day of the week. But in all seriousness, the nickel corner, which doesn't get all the love yet, is so pivotal to most defenses out there.
Of course it is, man. Like, listen, this game is all about who can play in the slot, and who can do work in the slot, and you better have someone that can play that position. I mean, I saw somebody say, hey, man, you could throw him on the wide and have him as a boundary corner. I was like, no, just keep him where he's at. In the middle, that's where he lives. That's what he's made his money from. Do not move that brother. Leave him where he's at. Don't try to change things up all of a sudden. So big shout out to my man, Teron Johnson. He's earned every penny. Kenny Moore was the winner for a day or two. And then my man says, no, let me beat that. And how petty of them to say, you know what, just give me $1 million more. Just one $1 million more. It felt like my man Zach Vaughn mentioned it. It's like Price is Right. You know what I'm saying? Let me do $1, Bob. And sometimes that be the one that wins it. And that's exactly what did the job for Teron Johnson. So big shout out to Teron Johnson. Very much deserving of it. And I'm looking forward to a big time year for Teron. So let's get into the offensive side of the ball. Curtis freaking Samuel. Your thoughts on Curtis Samuel signing. Are you impressed by it? Are you big on it? Is it something that stands where you're like, I'm not impressed? Because I got a lot of people talk about how great they feel about this signing. I have not spoken on Curtis Samuel deal yet, so this is going to be the first time I share my opinion. But let me get your opinion on Curtis Samuel.
He's a good player. I mean, he went to Ohio State, and I've told you about this before. I'm from Ohio, so obviously I'm all hard on Ohio State guy. So I saw him for a while. He came in as a running back. It kind of shows when you watch him play a little bit, he has that running back background to him. He adds some versatility to the team. He's explosive. He's really more of a yak guy. I know people see the 4-3-1 speed and it's like, oh, deep threat. Nah, not necessarily. He's more of a guy who you get him the ball and let him rock in that way, not necessarily 40 or 50 yards down the field. But I think it's a good signing, though. I think it prevents the Bills from going receiver in the draft. No, I don't, because I don't think he's a wide receiver too, or I don't think at this point he'll develop into one. But he's a good player. He's obviously rocked with Joe Brady in the past, where he's had his best year as a pro back in 2020. So I think he's a good player. And I think the first thing that came to mind, though, is just a fit, right? Where him, Khalil Shakir, Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid kind of all occupy the intermediate part of the field. So it's up to Joe Brady to kind of figure out how that works. You know, is that, I thought we were transitioning more to 12 personnel, but then you add another guy who's primarily in the slot. So it's going to be interesting, but I mean, it's not impossible. I mean, the 49ers literally have like five players who all literally play in the same point in the field, and their coach makes it work. Now, granted, Kyle Shanahan is a genius, so I'm not going to compare Joe Brady to that, but there are ways to figure out offensive players and making them work. I was impressed that they were able to do that. Do I think he's a wide receiver too? No, but I mean, I want to make this abundantly clear, because this is something that I think a lot of people have talked about this entire cycle in terms of the Bills getting a wide receiver too. You don't get wide receiver twos in free agencies. Good wide receivers, or great wide receivers for that matter, don't hit the market. You only get those guys by draft or via trade. Like, if you were to go through the last 15 years and say, man, who was the best receiver to hit the market? We're talking about Christian Kirk, a washed up DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, damn. You going there, huh?
Not washed, but you know, a DeAndre Hopkins who's not at his peak, right? So Bills fans, considering the market and considering what's available in free agency in terms of receivers, you're not going to get much better than Curtis Samuel anyways for the price tag that you guys can afford. So that was a good signing for sure.
So I'm going to put you on the spot with what you just said. I hope you're ready to defend your spot. You put the shoulders up. So he's like, bring it on. You said not a whole lot of receiver, top-notch receivers make it to free agency. And I totally agree. You don't let your bona fide receivers hit free agency. You bring them back home where they belong. So what say you on Gabe Davis leaving?
I don't think he was ever really a reliable wide receiver, too. I think he was miscast as that. I think Gabe Davis is a good receiver. Like I think he was a good receiver. And I know Bills fans are unsatisfied, whatever the word you want to use with Gabe Davis. He was a fourth-round pick who exceeded expectations. But he was miscast as the second fiddle to the Stephon Diggs. I think both things can be true at the same time. He's a good receiver. I don't think the Bills would have paid him what the Jags did, but that's not the Bills' problems anymore.
That's right.
So that's kind of how I felt about the whole Gabe Davis thing.
You know what? And I like that miscast, and I think a lot of that had to do with that phenomenal game. And I hate to keep bringing that up, but it's just what people remember. And I remember asking a couple streams ago: Was there other than the Kansas City game? Was there one game where you're like, that was the Gabe Davis game? And it was tough for people to bring it up other than the Kansas City game. And not a lot of people have those type of games in the first place. That was a great, phenomenal game. But, like, I think that's what cemented him or made people believe, okay, receiver two, we got it. But I guess he never lived up to that hype. But maybe he does in Jacksonville. Maybe he becomes a very big
rooting for him. Great guy. Like, really rooting for him. Like in the locker room and speaking to him, great guy. Just – rooting for him in Jacksonville all the way for sure.
No, 100%. Ain't no question about that. There's no question whatsoever. Now, getting back to Curtis Samuel, I'm with you, brother. I mean, when we signed him, I was like, it didn't really like, oh snap, because a lot of people were like, okay, now we rolling. Listen. I'm all for a guy that does yak. We've been looking for this yak receiver since Cole Beasley left. We tried it with Jamison Crowder. I thought Jamison Crowder was going to be that guy until he couldn't stay healthy, and then we never really got a chance to see Jamison Crowder do his thing. Isaiah McKenzie was supposed to be that transition guy, and he just didn't turn out to be the guy that we anticipated that he'd turn into. We saw some moments, but it was never consistent enough for us to say, that's our guy. We found our slot receiver. So obviously we moved on from our guy, Isaiah McKenzie. So we've been looking for that guy. We bring in Deontay Hardy. We're thinking, okay, maybe Deontay Hardy's going to be that guy. Not even close to being the guy that we thought he potentially be. Could it be Jamison Crowder? Could it be Khalil Shakir that we finally found our guy? Cause he seems to be footing the bill. And then we bring in Curtis Samuel. So then I'm like, I bet we bring in Curtis Samuel. So we're trying to, fill our team with the needy guys that we have, whether they decide to, move him outside, move him inside where everybody's interchangeable. Who knows how Joe Brady is going to have that mixed up. But what I do love is that he's familiar with Joe Brady. He's a Brooklyn guy. So I like that. He's gritty. So he's going to get in there. I don't know if you heard that accent right off the bat. When I heard him talking, I was like, bruh. That was one word he said. I was like, man, he's from New York. This got to be. I'm looking it up. I was like, straight up Brooklyn. Anyway, that being said, though, gritty, he will do. I think he'll fit in very well in Buffalo. My challenge is we've had all those guys I named in order for the – and they could be very good yak guys, but I'm not even bashing. I'm not even throwing shade. But, like, Josh has always had just – he could just never just let somebody just – run underneath that football and just go. It's always on the ball on you, and there's really not much room for you to maneuver and move. And I remember just a couple of years ago, he says, I have to do better on letting my guys make the plays. I have to get the ball in their hands so they can do the rack and the yak and all that stuff. And a couple of years ago, and it still has been the same thing. So, what's going to change? Maybe the dynamic receiver that we have in Curtis Samuel does it. Am I wowed by it? No. I'm happy to have him on the squad. Yes, because it obviously improves our receiving room. But I'm looking for another receiver. I'm looking for another receiver, and I'm sure Brandon Bean is going to be hitting that. So this, which brings me to my next point. Let's talk on the contract too, because the contract was actually, I wouldn't call it team friendly, but it didn't break the bank. It's essentially a 2-year deal for Mr. Curtis Samuel. Where's my contract? I had it up just a moment ago. So yeah, it's not a bad little contract. 3 years, 24 mil. That's the total contract. 13.1 guaranteed at the signing. Another 1.9 locks him into February. 2 years, pretty much a 2-year deal. 8 mil, which is decent. 8 mil a year. I'll take it. And his cap hit, look at that cap hit of 3.98 and then 9.7. And then, you know, he ain't going to see that third year. We know that. It ain't going to happen. So, but big shout out to Curtis Samuel. Now, here's where this whole conversation comes in. This is where I need your help, because you were having this conversation earlier today. Mock drafts are being put out there.
Oh.
but you having that conversation today, though, I've been, because I haven't had a chance to stream for a little bit. So I'm looking at this 28 spot, and obviously the Curtis Samuel signing tells me, well, gives me the impression that I'm not trying to put myself, this is Brandon Bean, I'm not trying to put myself in the position I was in when I forced myself into a hole to draft Kyrie Elam. I didn't have a backup situation where I signed someone, you mean, to kind of, you mean, hold it down. I pretty much put my all eggs in a basket on drafting a corner in the first round. And when he drafted his corner, whether he reached, whether that's the guy he wanted, or that was the last guy that was on this big board, so he says, they drafted Kyrie Elam. If you look at what Kyrie Elam has done so far, he's had some good moments, but everyone's looking at it like, yo, this could be a big-time bust. I hate to even use that word to associate it with him, because there's so much left in the tank with this dude. He's so young. He still got it, but he just hasn't put it together. So Brandon Bean, notice, I ain't trying to make that mistake again. So I'm going to get myself a receiver in free agency. I can kind of chill a little bit. I don't have to go out and really pin my ears back and try to get myself a receiver. So, which brings me to this point here. Do we need a receiver at 28? Knowing that we got Stephon Diggs, we now have Curtis Samuel. We love Khalil Shakir, so everybody says, right? We're about to find out how much they do love him if we don't draft one. We're losing it. Whoa. Didn't we love Khalil Shakir? Are we okay with him? All right. Diggs, Samuel, Shakir. I mean, if we had to go into the season with that, it's not the end of the world. We can still work it. We still got a franchise quarterback. And we got Dalton Kincaid, so we're nice. But do we need a receiver at 28? What say you?
I don't think you need one at 28. I think they should go one at 28. But do I think that the draft is a failure if they don't go wide receiver at 28? No. And I spoke about it earlier, like you just said, and I'll say it for everyone here on the stream. So this is a historic class in terms of wide receivers. Like, I know every year, because of what's going on at the youth level and the grassroots with these kids playing 7-on-7 at like 5 years old and how good they are. But when they're getting into the NFL at wide receiver better than they've ever gotten, right? Quicker, I guess is the better word. And it's no more apparent than this year with, I would say, I've watched about 19 guys so far, and I think about 18 of them are going first three rounds, and I'm not exaggerating. So, like, this is going to be one of those classes. Having said that, it's just a ridiculous class. Like, it's a class where I was looking at Daniel Jeremiah, and I believe he had 18 guys in his top 100, like receiver. Like, the class is loaded. So, but the same can't be said for defensive tackles and safeties, which are two still major needs for the team. So the question lies the value. If you're the Bills sitting there at 28, do you select defensive tackle 2? Or do you versus wide receiver 5 or 6 maybe? Or versus safety 1? Because I don't think a safety will go ahead of them. So that's the predicament that the Bills are going to be in. Because I do think if they go receiver at 28, they can't go wrong because there's that many good ones. But then say a guy like Byron Murphy from Texas slides, or the guy like Daniel Jeremiah had in his mock draft today, Jazon Newton from Illinois, if he's there at 28, there's a better chance. And also, the historical hit rate of defensive tackles is astronomical round 1 versus any other round. Like, I believe out of the top 15 paid defensive tackles, like 13 of them were drafted in the first round. Like, you don't find good defensive tackles outside of the first round. The same can't be said for receiver. Like, we've all know stories of receivers who don't get drafted round 1 but are still very productive. Sure. So I say all that to say I prefer receiver round 1, but like Bills Mafia, if it doesn't happen I hate to break it to you, it's not the worst thing in the world.
I agree.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I absolutely agree. And if I can get, listen, Davante Adams is one of the best in the, if not the best receiver in the game. Second round, right? Stevie Johnson, my favorite Bill of all time. Seventh round. Stephon Diggs, the bona fide number one receiver that you're looking at right now on this squad right now. Fifth round. Fam, we don't necessarily have to grab one of these cats in the first. Get yourself a guy. Now, this is where I always defer to the draft guy himself. Whether it's a DT, I don't know if I'm all in on DT. I don't know. I mean, unless that Tavondre Sweat, I believe, if he falls, I don't know if he even gets to us. If he's there, I ain't mad at it. All right? I ain't mad at it. However, if a safety's there and we need a safety, you know we need a safety. If you're not happy with what we have, we brought in Julian Blackman. I mean, we're looking into who's the other safety we're bringing in? It's eluding me right now.
Mike Edwards,
right? We're potentially look at talking to Mike Edwards. He might have the edge, right? So, to me, go with something that will. It's a for sure we can get you on the field and go from there. Here's another thing I look into as well. Typically, you want to jump into the round one receiver because you're ready to replace your number one receiver. I don't see Stephon Diggs in the using the word replace anytime soon. He's got at least 2 years of elite play left under him. So you don't necessarily have to go and get a number one bona fide receiver. You just need to get a nice compliment to him. He can still get work and get busy. And if anybody says different, kick rocks. 3 straight years of 100 receptions. He gets his targets. He's that nice. Let's not forget that, okay, he didn't have the greatest postseason. We all know that. But you know when it's time to get busy, that guy gets busy. So to go and grab a top-notch receiver right off the bat, I don't necessarily think we need to. Maybe even trade out of it. There's going to be some talent. Like, Leggett could be easily gotten at that position. Now, if you're ready to trade up and get the big top dogs, we're not going to get in range to grab him. We're not. We're going to have to give up way too much to get in range. And for what? You already have a bona fide number one type star receiver. You don't need to. You can chill. So then the question now becomes, where's Buffalo's biggest need? And the need is at the back end, at safety position. So if you get yourself a safety that can get to work right off the bat and change that defense, give you a bit of speed, because you already have your in-the-box safety in Taylor Rapp. You already solidified that. You just need to find your free safety. And then get your receiver in the second. You're good. You don't got to move things around. So I'm not really sold on getting a receiver number one. Here's another guy that I saw today, and I was like, golly. This, what's his name? The UCLA defensive end.
Latu, yeah.
Holy smokes, man. Bro, if this brother falls to 28, damn the receiver position. Damn that we have Von Miller. Damn that we have Greg Rousseau. I don't care. Put him on the squad. He's a Micah Parsons type player. He will ruin your day. Am I tripping?
No, he's a phenomenal player.
Oh,
I mean,
gosh.
The one thing with him that we're not privy to, and only the 32 teams who ask for his medicals are privy to, he had to medically retire from Washington 3 years ago because of a neck. And he's back now, obviously, and there's no issues to this point. So we don't know what those medicals have looked like. He's been fine ever since he got to UCLA, and he's obviously been productive, a hell of a ball player. Anytime you watch Caleb Williams play, for like the casual fans, like, hey, let me go watch Caleb Williams, and they're playing against UCLA, lots of causing hell for that boy. He was going to work. I like him too. This class is exciting, and I know the receivers are the sexy glamour position, and look, I feel you. Like, I'm having a lot of fun watching these receivers this year. But these other positions, these other players can ball too.
These players can ball, man. I'm just saying, like, we need, in order for us, I mean, listen, just look at what the Jets are doing right now. They're loading up on their offensive side of the ball. They're loading up. I mean, you know that was going to happen, so it's cool. So you need enough firepower on that defensive front to make things happen. I know people are sick and tired of seeing this Bills team draft defense. Let's go defense. I mean, since McDermott has been coach, I think out of the draft, all seven drafts that he's been part of, I think the two drafts where we drafted an offensive player, Dalton Kincaid and Josh Allen being the two, if I'm remembering correctly, it's been defense the rest of the way. So I don't see the trend changing. Really, there's really no need. You don't need a quarterback. You don't really need a receiver. You don't need a tight end. Your offensive line is straight. You're not going to draft an offensive lineman. What you need? Defense. You got to. I mean, it's not a popular, like you said, it's not sexy. It ain't popular. But to me, I'm looking at that 28 spot. You don't need to jump onto the receiver. And who's going to be available at 28 that you're really like, that's the guy. Don't pull a Kyer Elam when you, just because he's in the first round, you just grab him. When you could really get some talented guys in the second round if you just wait and chill. So whether one guy falls to you, we'll see. But that's just the way I'm looking at it. What's up, Dame? What's happening, bro? I got my man Damon's in the building right now. He goes, yo, Bills need to keep building the offense. We have tried to stack the D and it's not working. Go offense all day. Brother, go offense all day. Want to grab a receiver 28? What if he's just not that dude? Like, what if Bean really likes Mitchell? That's the guy I want, but I can't trade up to get him. I got no choice. Oh, I'm gonna settle. You don't want to settle. This is not we settled for Kyer Elam. We settled. And Bean, I think, has set himself up to the point where Curtis Samuel gives me time to really think about this. I don't have to make a rash decision and grab a receiver off the bat. I can think. I can take my time. Do I need a receiver or not? Oh, okay. The way the board is falling, I'm good. I think I can go defensive side of the ball. I know it's not popular. And then we can pick up some good positions in the second. Maybe some guys drop. But that's my stance on the receiver position. I respect it. People are like, and I get it. People are like, dude, we go defense all the time. Let's go offense. But there's really not many places to go. We filled our need at RB. We filled our need at tight end. We filled our need in free agency with the receiver position. I just can't see it not going any. I don't think we need to go anywhere. Dame comes back and says, yo, it's not settling. We trade down. Get a Troy Franklin, Xavier Leggett, or Keon Coleman in round two, then go Fisk. I can roll with that. If we trade down, I can roll. Acquire some picks, maybe move back up in the second round. Who knows? By the way, how do you feel about Fisk? That boy was super athletic.
Motor. That's the first thing you see when you notice when you watch him play. Play with his hair on fire, and that's something you can't coach. Because a lot of things with players, this is a litany of reasons why players don't end up working out in the NFL, whether it's really for talent reasons. Like, you get to this level, you're good enough to play more often than not. Now, it's whether you couldn't handle the lifestyle of being an NFL player, you weren't preparing the right way, what injuries, things of that nature. I'll tell you one reason. If Fisk fails, it will not be because he doesn't care about the game, because that boy be running – He flies to the football. He's that player where on the defensive side of the ball, we're like, he's not getting no loafs. What I mean by that, he's hustling every single time he's on the field. You ain't got to worry about him not getting to the ball, baby.
I love it. How you feel about Troy Franklin?
Man, I maybe one of the few people who aren't the biggest Troy Franklin fan.
Listen, together. Okay. We are together on this.
And mind you, and I say that in comparison to the rest of the class. Like, I still think that he can be a really good receiver at the next level. I just have some other favors that I would rather see. If he's there at 60 or 50, I don't see any issue with the Bills taking – not 50, 60, excuse me. I'm like, all right, cool, the Bills can take him. But I don't think he's worthy of a first-round guy. There's some other guys that I would prefer to go be there, whether it's Eddie Mitchell. I don't think Brian Thomas will be there, but if he is, go right up the card. you can even sell me on, even a Keon Coleman, you can sell me on it. I wouldn't be like, man, I would do it, but you can sell me. For my money, if anyone wants to know, A.D. Mitchell would probably be the guy who I prefer that the Bills go with at 28 if they're going receiver. Really is a freak show, great player. The one thing with him, the knock is how hard does he play, things of that nature. No, A.D. Mitchell ran 4.34. You're thinking about Keon Coleman.
Yeah. Keon Coleman, yeah, 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 okay.
Yeah, but I love A.D. Mitchell, love everything about it. It's just the man, he'd be taking routes off, things of that nature. So you hope that you can coach that out of him and hope that's a college issue and not him in general as a player.
I heard that too. I hope that's not the case as well. Carl Jones for president, apparently. You're winning people over, baby.
Nah, you know, it's funny. I was a political science major in college.
Hey, but okay.
Nah, I'm cool on that though, man.
Who would be your right hand man?
VP? Shoot, man. You want to be on the ticket? You ain't a citizen though. Dang, man. Damn.
I mean, we can make some things happen. You know how.
If I'm POTUS. I can make something say. If I'm POTUS,
everything's really nilly over there, so we can probably make some things happen.
You're right. We can make something shake. Yeah, I got you. We'll rock together.
Keon Coleman, 4.6, 140, bro. You know what scares me about this? This has Brandon Bean written all over it. Why? Because the same guy that he let go for just this offseason, he was like, thank goodness he didn't kill his 40 because that dropped him and that's what was able to get us. I see the Bills eyeing this guy and be like, I'm just waiting for teams to just say 4.6, 140, boy, drop that shit. And then he's going to jump all over Keon Coleman. I could totally see it. It's a Billsy move. We draft someone in the first round or we drop down, whatever we decide to do. I can see Keon Coleman come to the squad because I think they believe that 4.6, 140, I'm not buying it. I know his game speed. I'll take that over what he showed in his underwear and all that good stuff. But that's just me. That's just my opinion on it right now. But like you said, this is a very deep class. I'm almost asking, I don't know how much you know your ball and how far back you go, but some say that listen, thank you for that, by the way. Largemouth, I thought you were going to try to say me that I was Trudeau. I was like, don't you dare. Don't you dare. Anyway, some people say that the 96 NBA draft is probably the best because they had ballers in that. You know what I'm saying? Is this receivers draft class, could it compare to the 96 NBA draft? Is it that good?
It's funny because I hate the term generational. I truly do because people use it so damn often. Rid of it. Man, like I'm so tired. Like I'm sick and tired of hearing he's generational. We've never seen anything like him.
You're about to use it, aren't you?
But in terms of the class itself, this class in terms of receivers isn't like talked about in this light just because there's 20 guys who can go top 100 or whatever the case may be. It's also that case because we have three receivers in the top 10 probably who in most years are probably wide receiver one, all three of them. I mean, however you – I know that the talk right now with Marvin Harrison Jr. versus Malik Nabers, things of that nature – 1A or 1B, however you want to choose in that order. Julio's probably the best I've ever seen coming out of college. Jamar Chase is probably second. Those two are 3 and 4. And then I think of Roma Dunze, maybe Sammy Watkins, maybe is ahead of him coming out of college. Outside of that, like we're talking about a class that is ridiculous. And I'm not trying to exaggerate this. Like these guys are – like no one's Julio. Like, and then A.J. Green in that class is what – like no one's those two. Like Julio was different. Like
yeah, he was different.
Like a legit freak. But like, man, like these guys at the top. And then if Brian Thomas ever fulfills his potential, he's 6'3", 6'4", and runs 4.3. Like he looks like Martavis Bryant without the off the field issues. And if y'all know anything about Martavis Bryant who played with the Steelers, he was different.
He was different.
I got flashbacks of just thinking about Syracuse versus Clemson back in the day. But regardless. The class is great. It's a great class, everything about them. And players are going to produce at all round one, two, and three. We see every single year. And just hopefully for the Bills' sake that they pick the guy whenever it is, if it's round one, two, or three, they pick the one that's actually good.
I got a question for you, bro. I'm sick and tired of it. Uh-oh. But, like, this conversation comes up at least twice to three times a week when it comes to the topic of Stephon Diggs.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, exactly. What is the fascination, in your opinion? What's the fascination with folks talking about Stephon Diggs being traded? Y'all need to knock it off with this shit, man. Bro, he ain't going nowhere, man.
Even if he wanted to go somewhere, he financially can't from the Bills' perspective. I think that's the and listen, I'm in the media, so I get how some things work in terms of the national. They're not like keen with the Bills' cap situation. So if they float something out there, they're not thinking about the Bills' salary cap situation all hours of the day. So I get it from a certain perspective. But like in terms of the Bills' fan base, y'all heard of enough people saying that the Bills financially can't move on. And then let's call a spade here. Stephon Diggs, obviously, by all accounts, has not shown that he doesn't want to be here. Like he's shown that he loves the Bills and has no issue playing here. But he also knows what he's doing on social media as well. So like it's not like he's naive. Like he's not naive to that. Like he wasn't born yesterday. Okay, so he feeds into it a little bit, right? But like y'all know he doing it. So why like when I see so why are y'all so true? Like if this was next year where it's easier for the Bills to swallow the pill financially. Sure, get angry, but the Bills legit can't do it right now. They will have to lose players to trade this.
They can't and they won't. But I'm seeing an article here and there. Like I was just did it. I think it was last week. I was streaming for Bleacher Report, and they're like, oh, by the way, the topic is going to be packages for Stephon Diggs. I was like, what? I was like, I can't do it. I'm like, you know what? But you were content creators. So you gotta do it. So I was like, every other side, I was like, guys, I ain't trying to make this thing happen. But if this thing were to happen, this is what I hated it. Hated every bit of it. So I just wanted to get your take on it because they lump media folks in it. And I'm sorry to say it. You part of the media, brother. And you got to take your lumps.
Yeah, I'll take that one on the chin. I'll take that one. I don't even have the energy to fight it. Like, that's why I don't even respond to it no more. I'm like, yeah, y'all got it.
I feel you. Let's move away from Bills talk. And let's go to NFL talk, general talk. The Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears bringing Keenan Allen. You got your boy DJ. You got DeAndre Swift. You got Cole Kmet. You got, you know what I'm saying, a bevy of they really enhanced their offensive line, their defense, the Jalen Johnson coming. Yo, that team is going to be something to look at. Justin Fields was supposed to be the guy to take over, and they ended up moving him. Now, before we get into the Justin Fields talk, I absolutely hate what I'm hearing from Kenny Pickett. Oh, you're bringing in Russell Wilson? Trade me. Yo, what happened to the, oh, you're bringing in Russell Wilson? Bet. Let's go. Bring on the competition. I'm going to show you what's good. Let's do it. Because Russell Wilson, if you recall, when he got drafted by the Seattle Seahawks, they brought in Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn got paid heavy money. As a third-round draft pick, he was like, all right, competition is on. What was he, a third-round drafter? I forgot what round he got drafted. But it was a second or third?
Third.
Third round. And he came in and beat out Matt Flynn, and Matt Flynn got paid heavily, but he was the backup. Kenny Pickett, grow some balls and say, you know what, you're bringing Russell Wilson, let's play. So that being said, Justin Fields gets traded to Seattle. They've already given the job, allegedly, to our guy Russell Wilson. Should Justin Fields say, damn all that, I'm taking that job. I don't care if he's a vet or not, I'm taking that. Or is it is it going to be one of those situations where I don't care how great you play, Russell's our guy, we're going to give it to him. He's the guy we brought in here. We're going to go from there. How do you feel about that whole situation altogether, first and foremost?
Yeah, first off, Kenny Pickett requested a trade, which is kind of odd to me considering that you're going to be a backup if you get traded. Like, it's 100% certain.
Facts.
If you stay, you can fight for the job. But if you leave, you're not surpassing Jalen Hurts. You're not. So that's the Kenny Pickett argument that I truly didn't understand. And I would love to sit down with him and ask and truly wonder, why did you request a trade? Now back to Fields and Russell Wilson. Reportedly, it is Russ's job to lose, and Justin Fields was okay with that. He actually wanted to get traded to the Steelers. There were some other teams that were in the bidding war, and the Bears were like, we'll do you a solid and send you where you want to go.
Which I respect. I totally
respect that. And you get good cachet around the league, good juju, all that good type of stuff. It's also kind of unique how Russ was Justin Fields' favorite quarterback. Like, it used to be Cam Newton and then it became Russell Wilson. So maybe he gets to learn from a guy that he looked up to, you know, see, pick his brain a little bit. They play very similarly. And what I mean by that, they don't really operate on time and on target a lot. They are vertical threats, Russ in his prime, very mobile, creating stuff when stuff's not there. They kind of remind you of like those old school quarterbacks where it's either a shot play, some quick, or we taking off. They don't really operate over the middle of the field a ton. Like, that was the biggest knock on Russ his whole career. The middle of the field, he just was allergic to.
Avoided.
Yeah, and Justin Fields is kind of the same way. So he can learn from Russ and pick his brain a bit and hopefully get his feet back on track, because, like I said, was a big fan of him at Ohio State. Career is off to a rough start. Hopefully he can get back on track.
Hopefully he does get back on track. And you know, I mean, we love talking Bills football. It's cool, but sometimes you got to talk NFL, baby. This is where we live in. This is the space that we live in. Winner, loser in this situation when it comes to Keenan Allen going to the Bears. Who wins? Who loses? Are the Chargers surprisingly winners in this situation? Who wins, loses in this situation? The whole Bears, Chargers, Justin Fields, Steelers, that trio. Who wins, who loses in that?
Based off on paper, I don't think anyone loses. And I think the Steelers win because they get a backup quarterback who they can maybe grow into something more. So for basically free, a sixth rounder. Often you get a flyer for a guy in a sixth round that can be on a rookie deal, correct. Now, for the Bears, I think it's a win 10 times out of 10. You got a rookie quarterback, and he's And the Bears weren't number one overall bad this year. That's the Panthers' pick. So like the fact that they're going into he's going to a team that has quote unquote the ninth pick roster. That's already a leg up on most number one overall picks. Like you just alluded to his supporting cast. That's better than any number one overall pick that I can think of in memory. So even if Keenan Allen is maybe a little over the hill, whatever you want to say, I still think he's a good player.
Me too.
He's a rookie running into that situation. I don't care if Keenan plays 10 games. That's more than enough for Caleb. And then for the Chargers' sake, listen, I can't stand Jim Harbaugh because he's a Michigan boy, but he's won everywhere he's gone. I mean, nice. We want to go San Diego, Stanford, the Niners, back to Michigan. He's a winner. And all of his teams look the same exact way. They run the ball, play action, and they're physical as hell up front. I think what they're going to do is mold that team and his image and really protect Justin Herbert and make things shake over there. So they were like, you know what, Keenan, you have a $30 million cap hit. You won't be in our future plans. We'll do you a solid. And
I mean, they tried to bring him back, and he was like, nah.
He said, I want my pay. And I don't blame him. I'm 30, 31. Give me my pay.
And I had a monster year. You're going to disrespect me like that? Heck no.
Yeah. But Jimmy, like, listen, I don't need receivers. That's what he's thinking. He's like, bro, I don't need you.
Gus Edwards is going to be tired, bro. They're going to run.
Yeah, listen. When you play the Chargers this year, button up your chin strap and make sure you got air in your helmet. It's going to be a lot of hitting when you play the Chargers. I know that.
That's going to be, listen, man, Justin Herbert. I feel bad for Justin Herbert a little bit because you lose Mike Williams, you lose Keenan Allen, you lose Gerald Everett. Like, you lost your three main dudes. I mean, back to back to back. You lost Austin Eckler. There's another one you lost. I mean, there's a lot of losses on that squad. So, and you're going into your contract. Like, this is where your contract gets that cap hit hits now. So, like, they're in a tough spot. So, the Chargers will be interesting to watch to see how Jim Harbaugh handles business. Like you said, he's going to be a lot of running. So, that's why he's probably not worried about, you mean, having some receivers, some big time receivers. Bro, we'll get through it. We'll get through it. We'll make things work. But that'll be interesting in itself. Let's keep on national news and NFL news. So we see Justin Fields going through his situation. Dallas Cowboys ain't making no moves. I don't know what's going on with Dallas Cowboys. What's happening? So let's go to, I mean, I was talking on this team just earlier today, but the New York Football Jets. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you saw what happened today. I'm not going to put the graphic up right now, but them boys got, they got your Aaron Rodgers coming back, Breece Hall, and now they bring in Mike Williams. Are you impressed by that decision to bring Mike Williams in? Are you like, and?
I think you – listen, this Jets run is over with when Aaron goes. So go all in while he's still there. He's not going to be there 10 years. It's the opposite approach that the Bills should have in terms of the Bills should be thinking about the today and tomorrow. The Jets don't – listen, Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas don't have a tomorrow. Like, if this fails,
they're out of here.
Over with. Your house is on Zillow. Like, curtains, over with. Like, so in terms of taking risks and swinging for the fences, they should. But, like, for some reason, the Jets have had issues over the past several years. They've had injury issues, and they brought in a bunch of guys who have an injury history, whether that's Mike Williams, Tyron Smith. So we'll see. Like, listen, if you told me that the Super Bowl was held in September, boy, the Jets might – they might win it. But we'll see how long those players last. And I don't rule injury for nobody. I hope they do last a whole year and are healthy. But A-Rod's coming off an Achilles. Breece Hall has injury history.
Yeah,
there's some injuries over there. So we'll see. But, I mean, listen, the GM, as he should be going all in and making these type of moves, and the Jets have.
Brandon Bean, last before we get out of here, man. Brandon Bean has a big job ahead of him. I think he's done a fantastic job. Not decent. I think he's done a fantastic job of having to make tough decisions on moving away from Jordan Poyer. Mike Hyde likely not coming back. I mean, very likely not coming back. There's big, tough decisions had to be made this offseason. Was there one that surprised you the most, or was every move that Brandon Bean made necessary and you're not losing any sleep over the moves he made?
Mitch Morse. I think that was the one that kind of took a lot of us by surprise. I mean, the Jordan Poyer one, you're like, man, do they really want to lose Hyde and Poyer in the same offseason? I wouldn't advise it, but you know what? They trust themselves and they're betting on themselves. I mean, that's the term everyone using these days, right? Betting on yourselves. And that's
what yourself, buddy.
And that's what they're doing in terms of their coaching and development. So, hey, I understand that in terms of the secondary. But the Bills had a really healthy offensive line last year, a really good offensive line. And to change two positions like that, because obviously you're changing two, moving Connor McGovern to center and then moving David Edwards to left guard. That's an interesting decision. But they are betting on themselves. They are betting on Aaron Cromer to develop that room and to get it up to speed. I personally wouldn't have done it, but that's why I'm here with a mic, sitting in front of my old jerseys and helmet, and not at One Bills Drive making good money. So that was the one where I was like, man, all right, now if the offensive line isn't as stellar as it is this year, I know a lot of people are going to point to the fact that, well, Mitch isn't there.
I'm not too like harped up on it, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously it wasn't a move that I loved. I didn't love it, but I wasn't hating it, because that was something that I'm sure that coach was already discussing a couple years ago because of Mitch Morse's concussion history. And okay, we're not sure. So I believe if my memory serves me correct, there was a pay cut in hat. When you take that pay cut, now you're subject to, hey man, we might have to let you go the next year. So he was able to kind of stay on the team and do what he's got to do. But I think it was time. We needed to get younger. I mean, you can't hold on to an aging center. Not that he's depleted in skill, but it's a numbers game at the end of the day. And listen, Brandon Bean playing chess, not checkers, man. He knew what he was doing when he brought in Connor McGovern. He knew. I'm going to slide you over to center. Just get your bangs right. Get everything right, and you'll be fine. And what I love about this, I can't say love it, but what I like about this move is that there's not new faces. They're still the same face, still same nucleus. We've all worked with one another. We've all been interchangeable. It's never like I never played center, you moved into guard. We didn't have this lineup before. We've had this lineup before. So to me, I'm okay with it. I think we got younger. I think we got more athletic. Away we go. I'm okay with it. I think every move that Brandon B made, I thought was necessary, tough but necessary, and we still remain relevant. We still remain competitive, and we got 11 picks to make something happen. He's got to hit. These draft picks, he's got
to
hit.
This draft is very pivotal to where the Bills want to go, not just this year, but long term. And a point that I want to make in terms of the 11 picks and what Bean's going to do in terms of maneuvering those, is he going to bring all 11 on the roster? I do want to put in y'all heads a little bit about day three draft this year in particular compared to 10, 15 years ago. With the college game changing, with NIL and the transfer portal the way it is, there aren't as many players – declaring for the draft early because they feel as if, you know what, I don't need to go help our moms and dads if I'm a six-round pick projected guy. I can go back to school and make $50,000, $60,000 and things of that nature. I don't have the number off the top of my head, so excuse me for that, but this year has the least amount of underclassmen that have declared in like 15 years. So what does is that dilutes the pile a little bit in terms of the back half of the draft, because I believe in 2019 was the peak, and then with NIL introducing these players getting paid in college, day three isn't as flush with talent, you assume, as it was in the past, because the quality isn't there. So I think that is something that obviously Brandon Bean and the Bills scouting department are very privy to, but it was something that I noticed when a lot of guys went back to school this year, and you're like, man, that doesn't really affect the top. But those guys who were fifth, and when you get that draft grade, right, when you get that draft grade and they tell you, man, you're projected undrafted, some guys will just go anyways. Like, forget it. I'm tired. And I need some money. At least try to get some money. Nah, you like, the old booster from Birmingham, Alabama going to take care of me.
Listen, it's one of those things that is it's important to have out there, because those 11 picks now mean a lot more now that you've given that information. Yo, I might have to just trade up and try to get all my talent in the first four rounds, maybe five rounds, because ain't nothing back there, or trade out of these ones and jump into the next year. Who knows? But like we both are agreeing, this is very pivotal. This is a massive draft class for Brandon Bean. He's got a hit because this is it. We ain't got the money. We broke. We ain't got the money, right? So we got to hit on these rookie deals. We aren't going to sign 11 guys, that's for sure. But we got to at least hit. It'd be nice to hit 50%, but very rare do anybody hit 50%. If we get one or two guys that are bona fide hits, bro, we're laughing. And hopefully we hit one on the offensive side, one on the defensive side, and we keep it rolling. But that being said, my guy Carl Jones came through and spread some love. Listen, man, I'm going to be leaning on you a little bit more now, because now we're about, because I try to stay away from, if it's not draft season, we're still in free agency mode. I try not to get into the draft. But right now, the transition is too close. So now I'm going to start leaning on you, brother. And my man Dame has mentioned something. He says he wants everybody to peep football player by the name of David White Jr. out of West Carolina. Go ahead and check out David White Jr. I think you posted that on your Twitter the other day, so I had to peep, and I liked what I saw. So yeah, go ahead and check out David White Jr., West Carolina. Listen, man, Carl Jones, what is going on with Carl Jones this offseason, man? What you got going? So let people know what you got going, where they can find you, what's coming out shortly. Talk to me now.
Yeah, I've been chilling. I've been unplugged, you feel me? Love football, but you know, I'll be getting nostalgic. Like, damn, I'm trying to wear that helmet. I'll try to put that boy on one more time, you know, but whatever.
I bet.
But starting similar to you, transitioning to more draft stuff. Obviously, I've been more keen on these guys because I watch college ball too. But over the next few weeks or so, I'm going to be speaking with some draft experts who are much smarter than I am with all the positions, whether it's wide receiver, safety, defensive tackle, DN, positions that the Bills need. Just giving you guys a heads up, we won't be talking about Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers and those guys because y'all not getting them, so forget about it. But anyway, but we're just going to just give you guys all the information that you need. So you sound smarter at your work office like April 10th when you like at the cooler and you like, hey, you know about that third round receiver, Malachi Corley? Hey, now the Bills should get him. And now you sound smart. So like we trying to do that type of content to make you guys sound smart.
Is there, before I let you go, is there one sleeper that you've noticed that you're like, this guy's nice, and if people don't start talking about this guy more, he's going to fall to the right team and he's going to do damage? Have you found that one yet? Or are you still looking for that one player that's like that one you fell in love with? You're like, that's the guy and he's it.
Two guys, and I'll give him two different days. Day two, I like Javon Baker out of UCF. Originally, I believe, an Alabama guy who transferred to UCF. Like his movement skills, I think he's going to be a fine player if he gets in the right system. And then this last name should sound familiar for people, not Brendan Rice, but Luke McCaffrey. He went to Rice. He is the brother of Christian and then the son of Ed McCaffrey. I like his movement skills. He's a bigger guy. He's new to the position because I believe he was a quarterback prior, if I'm not mistaken. I like his movement skills. He is most certainly a day three, so round five or six type of guy. But I see those guys and I watch them. I'm like, man, get them a good quarterback. I think they'll be all right.
Luke McCaffrey. All right. Javon Baker. Okay. Well, listen, man, we doing it. By the way, you just said, you mentioned something that was like, yeah, man, I just want to put that helmet on one more time. Let me tell you something. There was a CFL passing clinic that was going on in my neighborhood this past weekend. And I went to check it out because I miss football, man. If I can watch young kids play, and I'm in a new province now, so I'm going to start kind of giving my time and maybe get back into coaching too. I want to start doing coaching and stuff like that. But anyway, neither here nor there. So I'm watching the sevens. They're doing sevens. And I was talking to one of the head coaches of the team, and he goes, hey, man, you just moved here? Yeah, yeah. You play ball before? I was like, yeah, I played a little bit back in the day. I mean, nothing crazy. He's like, yo, man, these young kids always looking for someone to teach them and coach up. I was like, yeah, man, I'd love to be interested. Then he goes, you look like you can still play. I was like, bro, I haven't played in years. What are you talking about? And he goes, I just found out there's a men's league from 25 up, you know what I mean, to get back into it. And let me tell you something, not any part of me wanted anything to do with that. Not one bit. It was a bit of an itch, but I was like, nah, I'm good, man. I got kids. I'm too grown for this shit. I can't be doing this. It's a young man's game. Playing running back at 40 with guys that are, you know, regular ass jobs, bro. It ain't for me. But you still young in it, man. So you might have, you mean, maybe a reading league, maybe you mean Trump jump in somewhere.
Listen, if I don't get life or health insurance, I ain't playing in your league.
So there you go. This is what I'm talking about. Exactly what I'm talking about. Anyway, yeah, I mean, just even thinking about it, I busted my hammy and everything. Man. It's just not happening. It's just not happening. So, folks, I appreciate you guys coming through. My man Carl Jones and I held it down, and hopefully we start to bring you guys more draft chatter coming up. I know my man is going to be prepared. I dropped the ball because it was a week where news was flying left, right, center, and my dumbass didn't give this brother the link. He was supposed to join, and I went off on my own. So we ain't going to make that mistake again. So we're going to try to get Carl Jones in on some action with us, and we'll go from there, man. So, Carl, we'll catch you on the flip side, man, and we'll keep in touch, brother.
Be blessed. I'll see y'all soon.
Yes, sir. That's my guy, Carl Jones. And if you guys appreciated the show, smash that like. You guys already know what it is. From my folks on Twitter, from my folks on X, salute to y'all. For folks watching on Facebook and the YouTube, go ahead and follow, smash that like, share all that good stuff. And we'll run this back again, maybe this Friday. Hopefully some good news happens. Maybe the Bills, you know what I mean, bring in a safety. Who knows what's going to happen? I know Brandon Bean is working. He's working. So maybe we'll have a brand new safety to talk about. If not, we're going to be headed into the draft. And golly, the draft is not too far around the corner, folks. So that being said, much love, much appreciation for y'all. And listen, folks, we're going to catch you guys on the flip side. So we got Teron Johnson back in the building. We got Curtis Samuel. That's going to be holding it down in the slot at wide. Whatever it is, get the ball in that brother's hands because he's going to do work. And hopefully there's some chemistry built between him and Josh Allen. You already know Khalil Shakir is going to get his. And Stephon Diggs is absolutely going to get his. And this is the thing I love about it. I love to be able to say and we got Dalton Kincaid. So fam, what are we worried about? Well, we need to draft offense. We're good on the offensive side of the ball. Maybe one piece, but we don't necessarily need to get that one piece in the first round. We could chill. At first, when we didn't have Curtis Samuel, I was all about it. Now that we do have Curtis Samuel, it gives us a moment to kind of chill out and really assess what we need. And I don't necessarily think we need to go first round receiver because the big dogs will be gone by the first 10 to 15 picks. At the end of the day, everybody else is mumble jumbled all together. So do you have to grab one in the first? Nah, heck no, you don't have to do that. So then that's where we kind of figure out where we want to go. Do we go defensive line? Do we go safety? Where do we go? Where do we go? And we're going to find out very shortly in the next short few weeks, man. So until then, it's your boy Rico. It's the Buffalo Fanatics. And we will catch you guys on the flip side. You guys have yourself a fantastic evening. Be kind to one another. It doesn't take too much time. Just give somebody a hug, a handshake, or a nod. Just show love, man. That's all you got to do. It's really that simple. So until next time, folks, you guys have a great night. It's the Rico Report. It's the Buffalo Fanatics. Catch you guys on the flip. Peace. The people.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.